Blog Talk Radio. another while. God is so very awesome. Welcome to Let's Talk. This is Cecilia and Minister Sheila Kaiser. We'll get into it a little bit later, but first I want to see if Minister Sheila could start us off with prayer and to see if she wanted to start off the program or if she wants me to start it off. Basically, just turning it over to her hands right now. So, Minister Sheila, are you able to start off the program, or would you like for me to do it?
Good morning, good morning. Yes, I can start off this morning. And as another day, I'm going to say thank you, God, thank you. God, our Father, I thank you, and I thank you, and thank you for blessing me with life and love and mercy again through you and from you. I am here. Let's have to thank him every morning. I wake up, I say, I thank you, because if it wasn't for our Father, if it wasn't for God, the Son, Lord Jesus, we, as the little kids say, us, would not be here. Would not be here for life, to love and to cherish and to be whole and love one another. Father, I thank you again. I thank you, and I thank you for another day. I thank you for loving me, to give me life, to breathe, to treasure, to worship, to praise, and to thank you for another day. I thank you for life that you have given me and others, for a day that we need to understand, to treasure, and to thank you, and to know that it's not me. I didn't do this. We didn't do this. You, God, did this. I want you to bless us all and to understand our life is only in existence because of you, for the love and the mercy that you have, that you are sharing with us, the love and the mercy of life, to become and to behold and to love and to treasure you, giving us the time that we do not deserve to worship and to honor and to respect and to know you. God, we thank you. I thank you for waiting for me to understand my life is only in existence because of you. I thank you for waking me up. I thank you for waking my family up. I thank you for waking up each and every one that's listening on this program, however they can, to understand and give us a choice of life, but yet to understand life is through you, with you, and should be only for you. You chose to give us life. You chose to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, arms and fingers to feel and reach and to hug and to walk on. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for this. And Lord, I thank you for my family, bloodline and spiritual family that you have connected me to. I thank you, excuse me, for blessing Apostle Sandra Thomas, the woman of wisdom and knowledge and true love and belief in you and for you, and have had you, excuse me, in life, in her life, for long as I can remember. I thank you for blessing Pastor Troy Thomas, the son of the Lady of the worshiping God that has grown to love and to cherish and to honor you. I thank you for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, the woman, my sister of blood and the spirit of love, through you to help us out with this program. I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, another son and relatives unto the knowledge of you, and to understand and to preach the word with a lot of wisdom, and to understand life is you and only you. I thank you for Minister Brandon Kaiser, a nephew, for yet blood, but yet spirit, for yet another young man that have grown to understand, that have grown up and will believe and will acknowledge and learn, have learned and will teach others that you are the Father and the true Father and the true believer and true life through us. I thank you for Minister Sylvia Kaiser, that is yet another sister, through blood and spirit, that can open up the hearts and to preach and to say words of knowledge to let people know, God, you are real and you are the only. I thank you for myself. Lord, I thank you for opening my eyes for many years. I thank you for letting me know that you are life. I thank you for when they said I would not have life, you had to say, I have that right. I have that privilege. I'm the only one that can say when it is over. And I thank you for letting me belong to you, belong to the world. And yet life do exist. I thank you for Dr. Serena Wright, another wonderful woman of wisdom and knowledge and beautiful words of preaching and teaching and the knowledge of you. I thank you for Elder Kathy Kendall, another woman that has come through to you and to let you use us. Lord, I thank you for all I have prayed for. I have asked you to bless for that we have all said, God, use us. Use us for you. Use us the way you want us to do. Use us to teach and to let us teach ourselves that you can teach us that there is no other. I thank you for my daughters, for all your daughters and all your sons, family and non-family, spiritual and non-spiritual. Lord, I just ask you to wake this world up. Wake up the kids, the young daughters, the young sons, the young fathers, the young mothers, the elderly people, all that don't have any knowledge of you. Lord, I ask you, please send them an angel. Send them the angel of knowledge, the angel of wisdom, the angel to let them know how their world, their life can be such a blessing, such a wonderful life. As the movie said, this life is wonderful through you. The life of wonder, the life of wisdom, the life of love, and just to praise, to acknowledge, and to hold unto you. Lord, we need you. Lord, this world needs you. This government, these lawmakers, the ones that are doing your children so wrong. Lord, we need you to bless, to knock out all this hatred. Knock out all this wrong for doing this conniving, this mistreating, this devilish demons that have trying to take over your children, bringing damage and death to your children. Lord, we need you. We need you more and more every day, because these things we ask, can you please let them understand? Ask you to give them the knowledge. Ask you to let them understand that no matter what you're going through, no matter how things are going, just to give you the pleasure and the peace of being in their life can make things so much more of a life of beauty and wisdom and niceness and the care that we deserve, because the world is letting the demons understand what is good today. I can make this, I can make this. It's only bringing damnation to them to understand that you are the best gift. You are the best present. You are the best mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, auntie. You can be everything that we need. You is the best. As they say, You can't get no higher than being with you. Ain't nothing higher than you. Ain't nothing as make you feel better or so good or so outlasting other than being with you. Lord, I ask you to bless us. Lord, please have mercy on us and to understand that our life is with you, needs you, and should have you. Lord, I thank you and I ask you to even teach me how to pray better, how to worship you better, how to understand and to get to know more of you. Lord, I need more of you. I need more and more and more. I can't get enough. I need you to teach me more and understand how to deal with it more, how to live more for you, by you, by only you. Lord, I even need more. I'm not ashamed to say I never get enough of you. I need more and more trust and understanding how to believe, how to go about, how to do things, how to understand. I need you to teach me more. I need you to show me more. Lord, take me by my hand and lead me your way, not my way, not his way or her name way. I need your way. Lord, I need you. I need you and I need you. And I know so many more need your help, your learning, your experience, your leadership. Lord, I just ask you to hold me and keep me safe. And I thank you for the life you have given me, because I know without you, oh God, have mercy on me. Without you, I would not be. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And God, Lord, have mercy on me. I thank you, and to bless us all and to understand that you are the light. You are the high. You are the wisdom. You are the world. No more misconception that we need to stop and to understand. It's only you. We are here because you say so, not because I said so, not because the devil said so. Because if we leave our hands and our life and the mishap of these demons and we devils, yeah, we devils, because that's what they are, we will have such misery, such a off understanding life. It can start off like this, but the ending is not where you want to be. So I ask you, Lord, to bless us all to learn and to understand and to choose only you. If there's no other way of beauty, wisdom, knowledge, and abundant life of joy and happiness, there's no other way than being with you. Father, this daughter, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Cecilia.
Amen. I thank you for that prayer. Well, I'm going to apologize to my sister Sheila in advance, because she doesn't know this testimony I'm about to share, and some of my family members that may find out about it. Well, I had a very humbling experience yesterday. I can tell you that I cried. I can tell you that I was salty. I can tell you that I was angry. I can even tell you that I sought the Lord in a way that I haven't sought him in a long time. I can tell you that I asked God questions. I can tell you that I allowed the Holy Spirit to pray through me and to minister to me. I can tell you that I didn't understand it. I can tell you once again, it was a very humbling experience. So some of you may say it wasn't that big of a deal. Some of you may say, wow. So this is what happened. I was driving down the street. I wasn't doing 35. I don't even think I was doing 65. I can tell you that I was on the highway and I was speeding. And some people may say that I was driving like I was driving on the Autobahn. That's the German highway over in Germany that you can drive extremely fast on. And all of a sudden, and I do mean all of a sudden, with no warning, no beeping, no nothing. If you've ever been on an airplane where the turbulence was shaking the airplane to where it felt like it was going to explode or that it was going to drop down or something, you may understand what I'm about to tell you. But all of a sudden, my car just started shaking. I didn't say I was going 35, once again. I didn't say I was going 65. I said that I was speeding at such a speed until if I was going 85, that's slow. It's good. But all of a sudden, my car started shaking, and I was trying to change lanes, and yeah, people were blowing at me. I don't know if they could see the car shaking. I just don't know how violently the people outside of the car could see what was going on. But I can tell you that I've never, ever, ever experienced anything like that in my life. Then all of a sudden, my air conditioner went hot. And I mean, it was heat coming out of the car. And I was trying to get over. And I called on the name of Jesus. And I didn't know if I was going to live or if I was going to die. I didn't know if the car was going to explode. I didn't know if somebody was going to hit me. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I looked and I saw this light on that's called an ECP light. And I put on my emergency signals because I knew not only as fast as I was going, that I needed to slow down, I also knew that I needed to get to safety because I was on a six-lane highway, and not only was I speeding, there was a whole bunch of other people speeding, and all it would have took was one car, one truck, or someone for me to run into or for them to run into because, like I said, the car was violently shaking, and by the time I got over, the car was still shaking. And I'm trying to get off the highway. People are blowing at me. I'm not understanding what's going on. Don't know if the car is going to blow up or what's going to happen because, like I said, it was hot now. I mean, the AC went to extreme heat and the car was shaking. So I couldn't jump out in the middle of the highway. So I drove to safety with the car shaking like it was and as hot as it was. And I got out of the traffic and I got over to a parking area. And I immediately turned the car off, grabbed the manual because I wanted to know what in the world was going on because the car was hot. And, of course, it wasn't shaking now because I had turned it off, but it was still hot, and it was hot outside. And it said that the ECP meant that my car had had the engine, not just any part of the car, but had an electrical malfunction. Now, any of you know that if an engine has an electrical malfunction, you could blow up. Anything could happen with an electrical malfunction, and plus I'm driving as fast as I was driving. I mean, there's so many things that could have happened? So I immediately got on the phone and called the dealership because I wanted to take the car in. How many of you know I didn't get nobody on the phone, and it went to a voicemail? So I left my car where it was while I'm waiting for the people to call me back, because that's what the manual said to do. And so I'm like numb at this time. I don't know what to do because I've never experienced anything like this before. And so I left the car there for about 2 hours, probably over 2 hours. And, you know, I went for a walk and different things. And so as I was walking, I text someone. And why I text them and what I text them, I realized was hard. Because for some of you that don't know me, it's hard for me to ask for help. Because it always seems like everyone needs my help, but they're never there when I need help. So then that makes it hard for me to ask for help. And then I realized as I was walking that it was the pride in me that wouldn't allow me to ever, I'm not talking about just then for that situation, to ask for help. And I asked God, God, this has happened, that's happened, all of these things are happening in my life, and I'm getting ready to go and do this for school, and I'm getting ready to go and do that for school, and you placed the destiny on my life to do this and to do that. I questioned God because I wanted to understand. I knew that someone would say, oh, your life flashed before your eyes, or you knew that you could have just died. Yeah, I knew it was bigger than that because I made it out. See, you don't understand. I made it out of it. So I knew that I needed to go to God to say, God, all of these things have happened in the course of my life for this place that you've told me you want me to go to. So I know that's the reason that I didn't just die. I don't have anyone in my family here. So if the car would have blown up, would they even have known that I was missing? Would they have even known that I was deadly ill in the hospital? Would anyone have even missed me? Because it's not like we talk all the time or keep up with each other. I said, God, what is this all about? And he talked to me about pride. He talked to me about humbleness. He talked to me about leadership. He talked to me about destiny. He talked to me about the pride of the place that I live in. See, some of you may not know, but in the D.C. area where the politicians are, the president is, there is a atmosphere of pride like no other. There's an atmosphere of haughtiness like no other. There's an atmosphere of racism and sexism like no other. There's an atmosphere of me, 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 me like no other. There's a place here that you can forget to thank God for everything, and you can be so focused on where he's taken you until you're forgetting to thank him for where you've been and where you're at. There's a pride, even within us who think that we're humble, and others may think that you're humble. There's a place of humility and humbleness that won't work at the next level. See, the humbleness and the humility that I may have been walking in yesterday or the day before was too low for where God needs for me to go. Because, see, there are some things that God's going to call us to. If he called you to be the president, would you be able to take the high ground, like Lady Michelle Obama said? When people are going the low ground, will you be able to take the low ground sometimes as well? Will you be able to not to take the low ground in a place of where you're being nasty, rude, and disrespectful, and unforgiving, but low to the place that you get on your knees and you get on your face before God and you tell him, God, examine my heart. I don't like what I see. It's not like you, God. Because, see, God can bless you so in life. And God can honor your prayers so in life that you can go through a lot in life. But because he's always answered your prayers and because the angels encamped around you have always protected you, there could be a little smidget of pride there that you don't even see. It could be a great mountain hill, a world-sized pride that you ignore. There can be this little bit of pride in you that is like a little piece of yeast that when it is at the right temperature and it has the right ingredients, the water and things added to it, that it expands and expands and expands. Until now that yeast is huge. It was just like this little piece of dough, but now it's huge. A little bit of leaven will spoil the whole loaf. And for where God is going to take you to, he needs you to be able to be humble even when you're dealing with the arrogant. He needs for you to be able to be humble even when you're dealing with the racism. He needs for you to be able to be humble even when you're dealing with the self-righteous. Ha, kerarámorose. He needs for you to be humble even when you're dealing with the people that have done you wrong. God needs for us to be able to take the high road that's really the low road in him, meaning that you're able to come before God saying, God, I don't know. I don't know what I think I know. God, teach me. I want to be teachable. God, teach me. I want to have your wisdom. For you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask him that you would give it liberally unbraided. God, I need to know that you love me so much till you could have just taken me on the glory to be with you, but there's a destiny that's calling. There's a destiny on my life. That like when Minister Sheila was praying, that when people thought I shouldn't be here, God, you said, no, not so, because there's a destiny calling. Ah, God, I thank you. There's a destiny on your life that says where God is taking you to. And the people that are watching your life, out of all the things they need to see, they need to see that you live a life that exhibits an attitude that says, decrease me, Lord, that thou may increase. They need to see a life that says, I give all the glory and all the praise to God. See, some of us talk good. And we say that we're humble. We're, oh, God, give God the glory. Oh, I'm so blessed and highly favored. We know how to say all of that. We know how to say the right things. But our heart is far from that, for where he's taken you to. See, what we don't understand is there's a place of humility and humbleness for every level that God takes us to. And so when God allows things to happen in our lives, at the magnitude and at the intensity that he allows it to happen, it's because he's promoting us to another level in him. And see, the word of God lets us know that even the very elect will be deceived and can be deceived by the deceitful one that will creep in. And so that little bit of pride is what that deceitful one is looking for. He wants it to grow like that yeast that we talked about. Oh, you ever see something where there's a little bacteria somewhere and it gets warm in that place, hot like it was in my car when I thought it was going to explode? And then all of a sudden that bacteria grows and grows and grows, and then it metamorphosizes to something else, and it becomes some type of mutant thing that you see like people in the movie of Walking Dead. See, you could be in so much pride until you're the walking dead. God can use you. Ah, God help me. in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. See, for where God has taken us to and for the lives that he's going to use us to touch and to lift up Jesus so that he can draw all men unto him, we're not humble enough. I'm talking about me. Let me say, I'm not humble enough. I ain't going to talk about nobody else. I'm not humble enough for where God has taken me to. He's connected me to people that not only know how to be humble, they know how to, my sister minister Sylvia says it all the time, they know how to talk to the people in the gutters, and they know how to talk to the kings and the queens. See, when God puts you in leadership, you have to be humble enough to talk to the drug dealer, the homeless person, the stinky person, and also the person that's in the riches of the riches, the multi-billionaires and zillionaires. Mother Teresa was able to do that. Dr. King was able to do that. There's many of us today with the anointing of Esther, the anointing of David to be the king, the anointing of Deborah to be the leader. There's many of us with this anointing and this destiny on our lives that God didn't use us when we were young, because he's going to use us as we get older. And the reason why is because somebody needs to know that you started out in a trade school before you got to where he took you to. Somebody needs to know that you've dealt with bankruptcy before. Somebody needs to know that you had to live with this person or that person before. Somebody needs to know that you were at one time walking because you didn't have any transportation. Somebody needs to know that you bought neck bones and rice, which was very, very, very cheap, so that you could, you know, have a meal to eat. Somebody needs to know that you were a single parent. Somebody needs to know your testimony, because it's going to help them to know that God can bless them too. But that pride can ruin your testimony. Some of us, I'm talking about me, I'm going to say I am learning that sometimes when God puts you in a place to ask for help, it's bigger than you. But pride will cause you not to ask for help. Fear will cause you to act like you can't help when you can. One of the things that people don't like to admit, some of us today aren't married because of pride. We don't want to be submitted to a man. Ah, woo, that'll preach all by itself. Some people are married and don't know how to be submitted to their husband when the Bible tells you clearly to be that way. Oh, I'm not married because nobody treats me right. No, some of you have been engaged like me. Some of you have been at that place where you could have been married, but the pride in you wasn't humble enough to submit. Let's talk about pride. Proverbs 11 and 2 says, this is scripture now. Ooh, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But when the humble, but with humble, the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29 and 23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain favor. Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. James 4 and 6 says, I don't know about you all, but this word is blessing me. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. My God. Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. Psalms 10:4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are there is no God. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Yeah, I'm reading some scriptures over, and some scriptures that are basically verifying another scripture. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Yeah, we talked about that. Never be wise in your own sight. Proverbs 13:10. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. Galatians 6:4. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Let me read that scripture again. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, those are some great, great scriptures. I have a few more for you. Ecclesiastics. A matter of fact, I have a few more for myself. Ooh, God, I need this. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Uh-huh. You remember we were talking about where you're at versus where God is taking you to and where you've been. Once again, Ecclesiastics 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. How many of you know that? That when you humble yourself before the Lord, that he will exalt you in due season? Revelation 3:17 says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. 1 Timothy 3:6. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. This is some good word, Lord. I thank you. And then, Ezekiel 28:1-26, the summarized version says, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud, and you have said, I am God, I sit in the seat of the gods, in the heart of the seas, yet you are but a man and no God. Though you make your heart like the heart of God, you are indeed wiser than Daniel. So no secret is hidden from you. By your wisdom and your understanding, you have made wealth for yourself and have gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom in your trade, you have increased your wealth, and your heart has become proud in your wealth. My God. Help us, God. Help me, God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not some, but do it all to the glory of God. Not just that we're saying that we're doing it, because like I said, and like God has revealed to many of us talk a good talk, and we're always saying, to God be the glory. We're always saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. We're always saying, God did it. But in your heart, do you see that little speckle? Do you see that little particle? Do you see that little atom? Do you see that thing that's smaller than the size of a mustard seed, that's like a little bit of pride, that thing that's like a little dot of pride that has the ability to create enough expansion that not only could it ruin your life, it could ruin the life of those watching you, those that want to emulate you, those that are encouraged by you. 1 Peter 5 says, this is to the elders, to the flock. See, elders are leaders. Minister Sheila, Cecilia, Minister Sylvia, Prophet Antoine, Pastor Troy, Elder Kendall, Dr. Wright, Apostle Sandra Thomas, Apostle Eckhart, Apostle McNeil, and Apostle O'Neill. There are so many leaders in the body of Christ. Many of my battle buddies, they're leaders. Many of the people on my job, they're leaders. We need to hear this word. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In that same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due season. I'm going to say that again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due season. That means when he humbles us, it's because we didn't humble ourselves. When God allows the cares of life to come our ways, the situation of life to come our way, it's sometimes because we are allowing ourselves to be someone else's God and we're getting in God's way. Sometimes it's because promotion is coming, not just on your jobs, not just in your family, not just in school systems, not just in degrees, but sometimes he's promoting you in the spirit realm. He's promoting you in prayer. He's promoting you in leadership. He's promoting you in wisdom. He's promoting you in a power and authority, and he has to make sure that you're able to humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I'm back in the scriptures. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Minister Sheila, that's all I have for today. If you can go ahead and make the announcements and finish the program in prayer, and I will be sharing this particular Let's Talk program on the air, because although it was a testimony and prayer, I think some of us need to talk to God. This Let's Talk program is dedicated to us talking to God about that smidget or that large amount of pride that's in our lives that would be in the way for this next place that he's calling us to. Destiny's calling. Let's answer. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser. That message was so true. It's not only for you, but it's for me and so many others. We can let our pride just ruin our life. Then they got pride that can make you, whether you think so or not, very ugly. Your pride can make you have a look of appearance, a way, a thing of life that you think you are beyond any and everyone. Pride is in a way of a devilish, evil move that it can make become upon you. But I thank and I ask and I praise for the Lord for all of us that who have, that do have it. Learn how to understand it. Learn how to use it to the betterment of God. Not to make you think and let you know that you are not above no one. We are all here for life that God has given us. We might have a little more than the other, but that's something you don't need to use your pride with, to rub or to wipe or to put into other spaces. But I thank you and I thank you and I thank you for that word, because we all need help with the way we do our lives and do unto other lives. I just want to thank everyone for listening this morning. And I want to thank for the words that Apostle Elect Cecilia given today to help us to all understand that we all do have that problem, that issue in our life one way or another. But I'm asking everyone to join with us again. If possible, we pray that we all can have more and more acknowledgement and time to listen to us every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time, 30 Eastern Time, for Let's Talk with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser. I'm also asking that you can listen to us on Monday nights for Iron Sharp Iron at 8 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock p.m., excuse me, Central Time to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Also, there's Elder Kathy Kendall on Friday nights with Les Hill at 9 o'clock Central Time p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And I also ask you to understand to please put God, more of God into your life, and more to understand and to worship and praise and to, as they ask questions, ask, what more can I do for you? Can you show me what I need to do, Father God, for you? I need you to show me the way. Can you please help me to see a better way to treasure and to praise and to under and to acknowledge and even to know your way better? I ask we all to get together and to have a moment of silence and prayer for yourself and to ask the Lord, show me, can you please show me what I need to do better? In the name of God, our Father, and the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, because without God, I would not be here. I wanted to give honor to God and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, who is the true Father and Son of the world of life and love that you will never, ever get enough of. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Sheila. Don't forget about our program on tomorrow night, Iron Sharpening Iron, with Minister Sheila and Minister Sylvia. It starts at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our program on Friday night with Elder Kathy Kendall that starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and also 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I pray that for each and one of us that our lives will say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Be it unto me according to your word. And that our lives will definitely show that we live our foundational scripture that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let's talk to God on today and every day. Bye-bye.